And as we've been talking all along on this edition of A Closer Look, in that historic ruling, the United States Supreme Court, by a vote of 5-4, well, the justice ruled that banning same-sex marriage is unconstitutional. Dennis, we've been hearing reaction throughout this morning and from this afternoon, and also from Mike Griffin, who represents a different opinion here.
He was he is a spokesman for the Georgia Baptist Convention. And he said, and these were his words, that this opens the door to new possibilities in legal recognition of marriage, or the legal definition of marriage. In the words of Mike Griffin, it could be anything from group marriages to polygamy to incest. I mean, all that's open to marrying anything, because if marriage is a definition on which we do not base upon what the meaning has been in common law or history or biblical, then it's wide open. Those are the words of Mike Griffin of the Georgia Baptist Convention. And Rosie also said that the churches that are members of the convention will not perform same-sex marriages.
And Griffin calls today's ruling the, quote, worst decision by the U.S. Supreme Court since Roe versus Wade. Well, joining A Closer Look now is Georgia Democratic Representative and House Minority Leader Stacey Abrams. Representative Abrams, thanks for taking the time. We really appreciate it. I'm so used to calling you Stacey.
And you should continue to do so. It's my pleasure to join you. No problem.
Just real quick, get your reaction to the ruling.
Deep pleasure and pride. I think that having a court, the Supreme Court, recognize the sanctity of marriage and to understand that it is not one that's bounded by gender is a critical turning point in our society. And I think the expansion of liberty is something that we should celebrate.
We've been asking this question to all our guests today. Were you surprised by the 5-4 vote?
No, I think that it reflects the makeup of the court. I think what we've seen from Justice Kennedy over the last few decisions is that he has a nuanced and, I think, continually evolving sense of the role the court must play in securing freedom and liberty for all of our citizens. And in this way, he acknowledged that we were denying access to a fundamental bedrock of our society to a group of people for no reason other than their choice of a spouse.
Representative Abrams, you're not just an attorney, but one that knows a lot about the Constitution. I've seen you in committee meetings give a little point-by-point recitation of the constitutional questions surrounding a number of issues. Let me, though, ask you about Mike Griffin's comments from the Georgia Baptist Convention. I mean, taking away what one might call perhaps sensational aspects of it, where he says it could mean anything from group marriages to polygamy to incest. Isn't there a fundamental question here that if we say, okay, we open this overarching constitutional right to one group of people, then it just opens the door to other redefinitions of marriage?
I respectfully disagree with Mr. Griffin. I think there are two pieces to this. The first one is one of law. As a matter of law, what the court has said is that states have determined that marriage is between two people, and they have found that distinction between that union being one based on the gender of the spouse is an irrelevant decision, and it is not one that can stand under the 14th Amendment. They did not cut any of the more practical decisions that have been made about the stability of marriage, about consent in marriage. So there were no changes about who could be allowed to enter into a union. And so I disagree with his sensationalization, because what they have determined is not that anyone can get married. What they've determined is that basing that decision purely on the gender of the spouse is an irrelevancy that cannot be sustained under our Constitution. I think the second part of the issue is one of morality, which is that the justification that we have found for doing so as a state is not only unfounded, but has led to critical harm to not only those two people, but to their children. Not being allowed to be by your spouse's bedside, not being allowed to share the burden and the beauty of being connected is an immoral act, and he and the four justices who joined them recognize that is insupportable in our state.
And again, on the constitutional question, Justice Roberts, in his dissent, seemed to say, again, I'm reading between the lines here, but he seemed to say, look, I understand everything you just said about being at the bedside of a loved one, for instance, but I have to go by what the Constitution says, and it sounds as if he was saying, look, we can't, in his view anyway, override what the Constitution does when it allocates powers to states.
I agree that we cannot undo what it does when you allocate powers to states, but the point is the same underlying fact pattern with Loving versus Virginia was that race was not an adequate determinant to deny access to a fundamental right. What the court is now saying is that they put gender in the same bucket. That's the difference. And that, I think, is the critical turning point for Justice Kennedy versus where Justice Roberts ended up.
Representative Abrams, I'm curious as to your thoughts on, because now with this ruling and with all the debate over the religious freedom legislation that's out there, and of course Georgia is heavily involved in that, is there any connection that can be made to now with this ruling, and how could it impact any future legislation, even here in Georgia, about religious freedom?
I think
or that,
that
legislation, I'm sorry.
This is an essential decision, and while I certainly take the authors at their word, that they did not intend this as an attempt to undercut any Supreme Court decision, there are certainly those who would use it for that purpose. So when it comes to RFRA, when it comes to any denial of basic rights, and more importantly, when it comes to the promotion of discrimination, we have to be very careful. And RFRA is a dangerous, dangerous act for Georgia to adopt. It solves no practical problem. It will legalize discrimination in our state in a way that we have not found it necessary since 1994 when the federal RFRA law was adopted. But more importantly, we have to remember that in the state of Georgia, you can still be fired from your job for being a member of the LGBT community. Gender orientation and sexuality are legitimate grounds for termination in the state of Georgia. And that's not only bad for people, it's bad for business.
Your fellow lawmaker, Senator Josh McCoon, does this now mean there could be sort of a gathering, a come-together meeting prior to when you all come back in a session to maybe try to hash some of this out and to be reassured that this legislation will not be, you know, targeting the LGBTQ community?
Senator McCoon, I believe, has an ideological approach that he's taking to this conversation. I have one as well. My ideology says that we should never inculcate into law the promotion of discrimination. And thus, I do not see a place where there can be a meeting of the mind. There was a great deal of attempt last year. The language that was offered by Representative Mike Jacobs went as far as I think anyone could, trying to salvage the underlying premise of the law and still protect against discrimination. And that has been soundly and roundly rejected by Senator McCoon. And I do not foresee him being willing to change his position on that.
But
I fundamentally don't believe the law is necessary, so I don't see the point of negotiating on something when the best outcome is simply to vote it down.
But bringing today's ruling back in, some of Senator McCoon's supporters may say, look, we really need to pass RFRA because they feel that this ruling might, even without the justices intending it, might result in pressure on churches to do things like perform same-sex marriages. What would you say to churches and to folks in the religious community, or at least on parts of the religious community, who have that concern?
We have a federal RFRA law that has stood since 1994. And if the concern is that a federal ruling would somehow interfere, then the strongest objection, the strongest protection against that would be the federal law that is already in place.
So you're saying that churches should not feel that there would be any pressure put on them in the future to recognize this ruling by performing same-sex marriages if their belief is that somehow there's something wrong with it?
Absolutely. The church and state are separate in this country. The marriages that are being defined in this are the marriages recognized by the state. And even if you have your best friend get ordained and sanctify your relationship, you still have to go to a court. This applies to those courts. But let's assume that the hyperbolic worst-case scenario is indeed made true. The solution to the concern that churches would face pressure because of a federal, because of a Supreme Court ruling, that fear would be best met by the strongest law to protect them, which would be the federal RFRA law. My point is Georgia need not adopt a weaker substitute to what is already the federal law in order to solve for this fictive notion of what could happen to churches.
So my basically,
parents are ministers. I do not believe that my parents are going to be compelled to perform same-sex marriages if they choose not to. But that does not mean that the state should have the right to reject the sanctity of a marriage once it has been authorized by another state or within a certain state.
Georgia House Minority Leader Stacey Abrams, and Atlanta Democrat. Representative Abrams, thanks so much for being with us once again.
Thank you, Representative Abrams.
Thank you both for having me. Take care.